But you said this interesting thing about Satori, that we have evidence for it in some sense, that we can measure. I'm not exactly sure what you meant when you were saying that.
What it means is that when a finite individual has this realization of infinite openness, so to speak, that's something that still is in this body, in this place, in this time. And as human beings, we can discuss that. There are correlates to that, which include brain wave changes and so on. We can measure those. So in that sense, you can, even though Satori itself is a non-dual oneness, there are things happening in your own individual body mind when your particular individuality has that realization of wetness. We can sort of measure that. But that's different than a wave saying, in a previous ocean, I was this and this. I go, well, I don't know this. I don't know where the previous ocean is. So we can't really measure it as well.
So what does that measurement look like of an enlightened state? What is the machine output when somebody's in Satori?
There are several different approaches to that. We've talked about several different states of consciousness that can go with some of these higher realizations. One, for example, is constant witnessing through all three states. And I believe we mentioned some of the EEG evidence for that, which is that people even in delta sleep, deep delta wave pattern sleep, also produce alpha waves during deep sleep. That happens only on meditators that have been meditating for 20 years or longer. And since alpha is a waking state and delta is a dream state, it's taken to be EEG evidence of a state of constant consciousness, even in the deep sleep state. And the meditators who have that experience, that's what they report. So that's an interior and an exterior support for a type of enlightened awareness, a Satori experience. That still doesn't mean that when you're then referring to the ultimate, you can make finite statements about it that are going to be snappy and fit. It's a different type of statement entirely when you're making a comment about the manifest world and about that which applies to everything. At that point, that which applies to everything becomes meaningless. It just, you can't make that work. So as a way to stop philosophizing about the ultimate and realize it directly instead.
Now, you once showed me a video, Ken. It took about 4 seconds or less. I mean, it took about 2 seconds to cue up the video and hit play. The program itself only lasted a couple seconds. And you had some kind of electrodes attached to you, and it measured something really cool. And I remember going, wow, that's fantastic. But quite honestly, I never actually understood what was being measured. Can you explain that?
This is a very simple EEG machine, and it measured alpha, beta, theta, and delta activity in the left and right hemisphere of the brain. And beta is, you know, alert, sometimes agitated, waking consciousness. Alpha is alert, relaxed. Theta is dream state, and sometimes states of creativity. And delta is deep sleep state. And what I was doing was going into different states of consciousness, different meditative states, and seeing what some of the brainwave correlations were. This is a very, very crude machine and a very crude experiment, and very, very sophisticated research has been done by a lot of really terrific and dedicated scientists. But I just happened to have this around. It was like a home video, you know, and so other people whip out, you know, here's my wife having our third child, and you get to watch that for an hour. I thought, well, if I can be subjected to that, they can watch my brain, you know, to this. So there were several different things on that tape, but the one that sort of gets everybody's attention is, at the beginning, I wanted to go into a type of really reduced activity and a type of nervi kappa. And when you're watching that tape, that EEG machine in the video, the reason it's so sort of shocking, in a sense, as you said, is in a matter of about 2 seconds, what you're looking at is this EEG panel. It's all lit up. It's got beta and alpha and all these sort of waves going sort of full bore. And then in about 2 seconds, they all go to zero. I mean, it looks like you're brain dead, which I am often. So what I had done is, of course, just unplug the machine. No, I didn't. What I had done is actually gone into that state. And so it all just drops down. And the reason I would do that is it's clearly an example of a type of profound brain change that you can do with meditative practice, whereas according to most, you know, textbooks, that can't happen. Now, there's still brain activity. I mean, this is a very sophisticated machine which shows some type of activity, but it clearly shifted dramatically in ways that you simply can't do without doing years of meditative practice. I tend to use that particularly with psychiatrists because they pay more attention to what you're going to say after that, whereas if they read two or three of your books, that, you know, that's all airy-fairy stuff. But you show them this and their teeth drop out. Because they say you just can't do that.
Why supposedly can somebody not do this?
It would be the equivalent of stopping your heartbeat. Generally hard to do. Although, as you know, Swami Rama did at the Menninger Foundation. At least that's what appeared. So you can get this kind of yogic control over gross bodily functions from years of practice. It's not you know, something that's particularly in any way unique to me or anything that I'm doing. It's simply a product of a particular type of practice. But it's very, very dramatic. For that reason, it's generally something that you're not supposed to be able to do. And the experience of that is, again, that you're on the interior, there's just a dramatic drop in mental activity. Now, even cessation, there's an experience of formlessness. Now, as that particular videotape goes on, one of the things that's noticed is that theta then, when I sort of start brain activity again, theta, which there was no theta when I started because I was in the waking state. And then as all the brain waves go to zero, then the first thing that happens is I started doing a mantra in that state. And then what you see on the EEG machine is a very strong theta peak start. And it's very balanced in the left and right hemisphere. And there's no other activity. It's no alpha or beta. But there's a very strong theta pulse. And that's basically a fingerprint of a particular type of meditative state, a particular type of mantra and visualization. And so a lot of meditative states have these different types of fingerprints. Some of them show alpha, beta, some theta, a few show delta. And we're just in the process right now of mapping those. It doesn't mean you can reduce meditative states to brain states. Because, that's reducing left quadrants to right quadrants. That's reducing higher to lower. Just that doesn't work. They have very, very different phenomenologies and very different qualities to them. But they are correlated, just as the subtle chakras are correlated with gross physical centers but can't be reduced to them. Same with consciousness states and brain states. So this is sort of a part of the early sort of mad scientist experience where I sort of hook myself up to this little EEG machine and go through all sorts of states and see what the correlations were. It's actually fascinating.
Being able to perform something like that for the video camera, that means that you have conscious control over your mental states? Is that fair to say?
It means that in that particular instance, with that particular type of exercise, I can recreate that brain activity pretty much on demand. And as I can make the same brain waves go, you know, to zero, well, in this case to zero, I mean greatly diminished, and produce types of theta patterns and types of delta patterns and so on. Those are specific correlates of types of practice that I've done for decades. Almost anybody doing that kind of practice for that long would be able to do very similar things that I'm doing. And the empirical research on meditators doing this is very, very extensive and all shows very similar types of things.
So besides getting this party tape out of it, I mean, right. What does the ability to perform that? What does the ability to call? What
so
does
to turn
that
off
do?
Your brain? Well, yeah. It's like when you have a hearing aid and people are saying stuff you don't like and you just turn the battery down. I can just sort of just go to zero. I just brainwaves go to zero. But I look intelligent. I'm smiling, but nothing's happening. Part of what you're, in a sense, trying to do with any yogic capacity is by exercising conscious control of a previously unconscious process, you're disidentifying with it. Again, you're taking the attachment or the unconscious fixation that you had out of it. So now, presumably, in my next bardo, you see, I will have a little bit more say over where I plunk down. But that's why you're basically transcending and therefore including these states. They're not running you anymore. You're sort of aware of them, and therefore you have some degree of mastery or control over them.